When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docter and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, the golf doctor's out on vacation, so we're ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. You can also get your questions in via Twitter at Charlie Epps Show. We are at the halfway point of the FedEx St. Jude Championship, which is the first of three playoff events. Denny McCarthy and Hideki Matsuyama are in a share for the lead at 11 under. McCarthy is plus 800 going into the weekend, nursing a torn labrum. We'll get to his chances. Hideki Matsuyama, the bronze medalist, is in a share for first as well. He's plus 300 going into the weekend. We have him at 33-1 to begin the week. Sam Burns, Scotty Scheffler, Justin Rose, Nick Dunlop, Victor Hovland, all chasing McCarthy and Matsuyama. Burns is another one. Sam Burns, another one I really like to start this week. We have him at 65-1. You can get him at plus 700 now. He is one shot back of the leaders at 10 under. And then, of course, we will get to Scotty Scheffler and his chances at win number eight here at Memphis. He is plus 180 going into the weekend, trailing by two. Like I said, wouldn't be surprised if he went ahead and swept the FedEx Cup playoffs to get to 10 wins on the season. We haven't seen that since Hogan in 48. So we'll get to his chances, maybe some live plays a little bit later on. But last week, you had the final regular season event in the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield, all-time Donald Ross design, which produced a great finish. I was not on the right side of that with the Max Gracerman 90-1 ticket on the line. He had a four-shot lead with five to go before completely collapsing late on the back nine. Aaron Rye ended up winning, which was well-deserved. He is an Englishman who has put in his time on the Challenge Tour and the DP World Tour. And at 29 years old, you know, he took home his first PGA Tour title and is now sitting 25th on the FedEx Cup standings through the halfway point of the St. Jude, which is, you know, two rounds underway. Aaron Rye not playing too bad in Memphis. He's in a tie for 13th at 5 under par, 66-1, sitting six back. Probably not going to win. Still a valiant effort through two rounds, especially after the big win last week. You know, the top 70 on the FedEx Cup standings made it to Southwind this week. Next week, you will have the top 50 heading to the second playoff event at the BMW Championship in Colorado, up in the altitude at Castle Pines, and then the top 25 will compete in 2 weeks at Eastlake for the Tour Championship. Now, there has been a lot of talk this week about the overall format of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The points for the winner of these three playoff events quadruples compared to winning a regular season event. And for the fifth year in a row, you'll have the top 25 players competing at Eastlake beginning on a staggered leaderboard based on the FedEx Cup standings. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, here's what I mean. At the Tour Championship at Eastlake in 2 weeks, with the way it stands right now, FedEx Cup leader Scotty Scheffler would begin the week at East Lake at 10 under par. Xander Schauffele would begin at 8 under par. He's second on the standings. And then number three on the standings, Rory McIlroy, would begin at 7 under par. And if you want to go further, number four on that list, Colin Morikawa, would begin the tour championship at 6 under. The kicker is the player with the lowest stroke total over 72 holes when combined with his FedEx Cup starting strokes will be crowned the FedEx Cup champion and be credited with the official victory at the Tour Championship and earn a bonus of $25 million and a five-year exemption on the PGA Tour. But if you happen to be injured or get sick prior to Eastlake and are forced to withdraw, you automatically fall to 25th on the FedEx Cup standing. So let's say Rory, starting the week at, let's say he starts Eastlake week at number three, and he gets sick at the beginning of the week, he will automatically drop from the third spot on the FedEx Cup standings, and he would drop all the way to number 25th, just by withdrawing from the final tournament of the season. Here was world number one and Olympic gold medalist Scottie Scheffler on his thoughts of how much is on the line at the Tour Championship.
I would talk about it the last few years. I think it's silly. I mean, you can't call it a season-long race and have it come down to one tournament. I mean, hypothetically, we get to Eastlake and my neck flares up and it doesn't heal the way it did at the Players. I finished 30th in the FedEx Cup because I had to withdraw from the last tournament. Is that really the season-long race? No. I mean, it is what it is. It's a fun tournament. I don't really consider it the season-long race. Like, I think is the way it's called. But, I mean, you got to figure out a way to strike a balance between it being a good TV product and it still being our season-long race. And right now, I don't know exactly how the ratings are or anything like that, but I know for a fact you can't really quite call it the season-long race when it comes down to one stroke play tournament on the same golf course each year.
It's kind of a pick-your-poison thing. I mean, you could also go to the Tour Championship and you'd pull a Vijay and just have to show up and make sure you stayed upright for 4 days to win it.
Yeah, which, you know, on the flip side, that's not good either. You know,
it'd be good
people,
for you.
It would be great for me. But those aren't the rules. And so at the end of the day, I try not to think too much about the results of tournaments, and I'm not going to look back on my season really any differently if I don't win Eastlake. I'm going to show up there, do my best. And I think I've been number one the last 2 years going into the tournament. In 2022, having a really great chance to win and wasn't able to pull it off. And then last year, just playing poorly pretty much the entire week.
And yeah, the PGA Tour absolutely must have this type of start at Eastlake. They have to start Eastlake with their best players at the top of leaderboard because their product, the Tour Championship, is up against week one of college football that weekend. And it is absolutely imperative that you have your stars at the top of the leaderboard from the get-go. If you are the PGA Tour and you have the Tour Championship at Eastlake, going up against week one of college football, you cannot have Aaron Rye and Max Gracerman down the stretch on Sunday. You know, there is always 30,000 fans surrounding the 18th green on Sunday at Eastlake, but prior to 2019, before the PGA Tour went to this staggered start leaderboard, the TV ratings for the Tour Championship were awful. Unless Tiger was there, the ratings for the Tour Championship were not good from the early 90s up until the late 2010s because, you know, no one wanted to watch Henrik Stenson face off against Steve Stricker in the Tour Championship or Bart Bryant winning by six strokes. I mean, you and me could watch Henrik Stenson hit three woods all day. You and me could watch Steve Stricker putt all day. And rest in peace to the great Bart Bryant. But the average sports fan is choosing week one of college football over that type of ending to a golf tournament 7 days a week. And remember, the Tour Championship used to run into week one of NFL, which was an absolute disaster from a ratings perspective. But then you look at the type of leaderboards and the ratings the Tour Championship has produced since the format adjusted in 2019, and that adjustment saw the best players of the year start at the top of the leaderboard. And here's what you've watched at Eastlake since 2019. 2019, You had Rory beat Xander Schauffele by 4 strokes. In 2020, you had Dustin Johnson beat Xander Schauffele and Justin Thomas. Xander was a low gross in 2020. In 2021, you had Patrick Cantlay beat John Rahm by 1 stroke. Rory McIlroy won his 3rd tour championship in 2022, beating Scottie Scheffler and Sung J.M. And then Victor Hovland ran away with it last year, beating Xander Schauffele by 5 strokes. Now, notice since 2019, you haven't had one name in contention at the tour championship who is not a household name. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland. Barney at the Bar is familiar with all those names. Maybe not Kevin Na, but the rest of them, Barney can absolutely name. Here was world number 3, Rory McIlroy, to Sports Illustrated's Bob Herrick about his thoughts on the playoff format.
I love this format because if it wasn't this format, then none of us would have a chance against Scotty because he's so far ahead. So I really like this format.
In theory, you would have, though, because of the way they rejiggered the points going in.
Yeah, absolutely. But still, you know, he's so far ahead, and you don't expect Scotty to finish outside the top 5 either. So, but I, you know, the way I think it makes the Tour Championship more exciting from a consumer standpoint, is it the fairest reflection of who's been the best player of the year? Probably not, but you know, I think at this point we're not in for totally fair. We're in for entertainment and for you know, trying to put on, you know, the best product we possibly can. So, yeah, it's, you know, the first year that it was the starting strokes in at Tour Championship in 2019, I was able to win that one, and then in 22 again. So, I like this format. It sort of feels like it's a bit of a reset after the regular season, and not everyone's not quite on a level playing field, but it feels a little more like that.
Yeah, I'm with Rory on this one. I think for the time of the year with football coming up and playoff baseball coming up, there is no other way to guarantee the best players in the world are going to be on TV for 4 rounds at Eastlake for the season finale without this type of start. Before we move forward, I have a word for business owners. Listen, have you ever felt like the walls are closing in, that the obstacles to growing your business are overwhelming? We all know running a business comes with pressure, remote workforces, HR compliance, keeping your top employees. You know, there's no wonder that you start to feel boxed in from time to time, but you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there is Insperity. They put 30 plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR compliance and admin. Add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and you have expanded your HR capabilities. With Insperity lightening your HR load, you can focus on growing your business surrounded by employees who are empowered to be their best. Don't let obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success, because with Insperity, nothing seems impossible. As far as the FedEx St. Jude leaderboard is concerned, you have Denny McCarthy and Hideki Matsuyama leading the way. McCarthy's +800 going into the weekend. I'm a pass on Denny McCarthy. Class player. Great short game. He's made all his money on the PGA Tour by way of the brilliant work he does on the greens. But as Golf Channel's Todd Lewis shared with us last night, Denny McCarthy nursing a torn labrum. It is bone on bone. Amazing he is. He's able to get through the golf swing. It's his left side. He's had to make swing adjustments to make sure his swing is functioning properly, and he's still open with 66-63 at Eastlake, so quite a start. I'm thinking Hideki Matsuyama, Sam Burns, or Scottie Scheffler. One of those three names is going to come away with it. World number 1, Scottie Scheffler, back in contention, 2 back at 9 under, +180. The favorite going into the weekend Quick note, you also have the U.S. Amateur semifinal today live on Golf Channel from 3 to 6 Eastern. You can catch the final tomorrow from 2 to 5 Eastern. Today, Iowa State's Noah Kent will take on Illinois' Jackson Buchanan at 2 Eastern. And then you won't want to miss Josele Ballester versus Luis Mazave. That's the other semifinal. Those two Spaniards will face off at 2:20 Eastern. On the other side, we'll be discussing the FedEx St. Jude Championship card, get you some live plays that can get you rolling into the weekend, and we'll also talk about the Golf Digest report that Jon Rahm would do anything possible to come back to the PGA Tour. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. I'm buying Sparity HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the Golf Doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning. Get your questions in via Twitter at Charlie Epps Show. I feel pretty good about my card. As far as FedEx St. Jude Championship picks are concerned, I give those out every Tuesday evening. You can find it on X at DRMedia59. My three outrights this week are Hideki Matsuyama at 33-1. He's in a share of the lead at 11 under. You can get him live right now. MGM or BetOnline offering plus 300 for Hideki. Credit to Will Haskett, PGA Tour announcer on this one. Hideki Matsuyama had his best 2 days of putting, best two opening rounds of putting at Southwind this week. Typically, that's his kryptonite. Hideki, usually, if there's something he's struggling with, it's the putting. He's always got the ball striking figured out. He's a flush iron player. So Hideki has the putter rolling going into the weekend. That's why you see him in a share of the lead at 11 under. My second outright is Sam Burns at 65-1 from Tuesday. He's a shot back in solo third at 10 under, and Burns is a plus 700. He's a plus 700 outright over on BetOnline and MGM. And then outright number three would be Adam Scott at 70-1. He's in a tie for 33rd at 2 under. Well back of Matsuyama and Denny McCarthy's lead, and Scott is 750-1 right now on MGM heading into the weekend. The other leader, along with Matsuyama, is Denny McCarthy, who is 31 years old out of the University of Virginia. He's been on tour for a few years, and he's been one of the best putters on tour for the last 10 years. You look at the numbers and you'll find, you know, McCarthy makes all of his money through his work on the greens, but at 31, he still hasn't won a PGA Tour event. He's come close. Seventh at the 2022 U.S. Open, second at last year's Memorial Tournament, and he finished runner-up at the Valero Texas Open, which was a very entertaining Sunday there at TPC San Antonio. I had Akshay Bhatia at 65-1 to win the Valero, and that cashed, although McCarthy almost tracked him down. But it's going to be a tough weekend for McCarthy in Memphis since he's battling a hip injury. And he talked more about that with the media scrum after his second round, 7-under 63, to get into a share of the lead.
Coming through on the downswing a little bit. Just hard to maybe get a little more rotation, push up through the ground than I would like. And It's been okay. The heat really helps it. It really loosens it up. But it's, you know, I've had to spend a lot of time post round, pre round, getting it loose, getting it ready to go to, you know, play a full round. But you know, it feels really good. I haven't been thinking about it too much, which is nice. Just kind of been focused on, sounds cliche, I've just been focused on each shot, really trying to put same amount of importance and focus into each shot.
It's your labrum. I mean, could you just take us through exactly what the issue is? Is it torn completely? Or you got bone on bone? Or what's the situation?
Yeah, I don't want to divulge too much. It's bothering me, and I've been able to do enough the last few days to push through it. Like I said, the heat helps it. So, yeah, looking forward to a challenge on the weekend.
And NBC's Todd Lewis, after that post-round interview, Todd Lewis confirmed it is torn. And it is a bone-on-bone situation. So with McCarthy coming into Memphis, ranked 159th in driving distance and, you know, struggling with this labrum injury, I'm out on McCarthy's chances of winning at plus 800 this weekend. I don't think he can hang with Hideki and Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns and Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele. We haven't talked about Schauffele, but, you know, he's at 5 under, 22-1 heading into the weekend, 6 back. Probably a little too far, but still in the mix there. I think it's going to be a long weekend for Denny McCarthy. He's a pretty short driver off the tee, and you add in a lower body injury, and that's going to be an issue when it comes to contending in a 72-hole golf tournament. So the card does look to be in good shape, but world number one Scotty Scheffler is only 2 back, and he is the current favorite at plus 170 odds to win, and rightfully so, as he's coming off a final round 62 at the Olympics to win gold in his seventh PGA Tour win of the year. Here was Scheffler on his second round 5 under 65 at TPC Southwind that put him 3 back of the lead.
Yeah, today it's just nice to have a clean card. No bogeys, did a good job of having some nice up and downs to kind of keep the momentum in the round going. You know, I think I hold a nice putt for par early in the round on 5, and then I hit a couple nice chips after that, you know, getting it close to the hole, kind of making what could have been a stressful par into a pretty stress-free par with some nice pitches. So overall, was a pretty good day.
So it's business as usual for Scotty Scheffler, who could absolutely sweep the 3-tournament playoffs to win 10 total tournaments this season, which would be the most. I think I said 63 in the monologue. It would be the most since Ben Hogan won 10 tournaments in 1948, the 1948 season. And once again, he's at 7 wins on the season right now after the Golden Paris. But remember, Scheffler will already begin with a 2-shot lead at Eastlake in 2 weeks. So you have to assume that he has win number 8 in the bag. And 8 wins would be great. But 7 players in history have won 8. 7. And Palmer and Woods did it twice. Palmer won 8 in 60 and 62. And Tiger won 8 in 99 and 2006. 9 wins in a season is a much smaller fraternity because you only have 2 players who have won 9 in a season in the modern era. Tiger in 2000 and Vijay Singh in 2004. Paul Runyon also did it in 1933, but competition and schedule looked a lot different back in the dinosaur era. So, you know, earlier this week, I was breaking down, you know, which courses in the playoff swing that would fit Scheffler the best. I said Castle Pines, which will host the BMW next week. Castle Pines would be number one because Scheffler putts very well on bent grass. I'll also like Tony Finau next week at the BMW up in the altitude close to home. I would, with the way he's playing this week, Tony's playing fairly well. He's in a tie for 13th at 5 under, open 69-66. I think next week is going to be a great look for Tony Finau up in the altitude close to home. But as for Scheffler, I said Eastlake would be the number 2 close course fit since he's knocked on the door at the Tour Championship a couple times. And I said TPC Southwind, this week's course, would be the least likely of the 3 for Scheffler to pick up win number 8 because he's never contended to TPC Southwind in 6 total appearances. That is until this week. The only 2 back. As far as, you know, the live look, you know, I'm in good shape sitting here with Hideki at 33-1, Burns at 65-1, and Scott at 70-1. But I think you absolutely have to add a unit on Scheffler outright at plus 180. I made this mistake 2 tournaments ago at the Olympics. I had John Rahm, I had Tommy Fleetwood, and I had Xander Schauffele. And I think Scheffler was 7 back heading into that final. He was 7 back heading into that final round, and Rahm had a 5-shot lead on Scheffler going into the back nine of the Golf National for the Olympics. There was a live look there. You know, when right now when Scheffler is within 6 heading into the final round,
I think he's, you know, he's more than capable of winning, as we've seen. I think plus 180 heading into the weekend, you know, if you're a Tuesday listener and you're looking for some insurance, I think Scheffler at plus 180 is a great option. You also have Justin Rose in a tie for fifth at 8 under. He is 28-1 sitting three back. That's a major champion, 2013 U.S. Open winner at Marion. Nick Dunlop is also in a tie for fifth. At 8 under, he is 40-1 heading into the weekend. And, you know, when we talk about the U.S. amateur today, you know, you look back a year ago and Nick Dunlop, who is sitting tied for fifth in Memphis, he was the U.S. amateur champion 1 year ago today. You fast forward, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. You fast forward and, you know, Nick Dunlop is now a two-time winner on the PGA Tour. His progressions have been absolutely amazing, Nick Dunlop. Do I think he wins this weekend? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Nick Dunlop, you know, he's sitting 67th on the FedEx Cup standings rolling into this week. You know, he's projected 49th. Remember, only the top 50 get into Colorado next week. I think that a win for Nick Dunlop this week would be to stay inside the top 50. Top 50 will go to Colorado next week. He's projected 49th in the tie for fifth. I think that would be a win for Nick Dunlop there in Memphis this week, if he could just stay in the top 10 and make it to Eastlake. Only 20 years old, won the U.S. amateur a year ago today, now a two-time winner. One is an amateur in Coachella Valley, turned pro right after, and then won a couple weeks ago at the Barracuda. He's the first player in PGA Tour history to win a PGA Tour event as an amateur and a pro in the same season. All right, a quick break from the golf to tell you about my friends at Remind Support. Hi, this is Will Doctor, and if you are struggling with depression or bipolar disorder, Remind Support offers free, confidential, and safe support groups in the Houston area for those living with an illness that has, you know, devastated millions worldwide. Whether you are someone that prefers, you know, virtual medicine or someone that prefers face-to-face interaction, Remind accommodates either. Groups meet online or at a location around the area with a licensed mental health professional leading the way. These groups are filled with comfort, hope, and social support with peers. There is no cost to attending, and finding your class is simple. Visit remindsupport.org and type in your zip code to find a location near you, or sign up for an online class at a day and time that is convenient. No one should have to suffer in their mental health alone, but with Remind, free support is here for you. Once again, that is www.remindsupport.org. So you've got the Memphis action going on today on NBC. We will talk about a little bit of LIV Golf next segment, just because Golf Digest came out with a report that, you know, as Jaime Diaz, too, one of the best golf reporters over the last 30 years, he said that Rahm would do anything to come back to the PGA Tour. So we'll talk about that. And then once again, you need to keep an eye on the U.S. Amateur semifinal. You've got Iowa State's Noah Kent taking on Illinois' Jackson Buchanan at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then Josele Ballester versus Luis Massaveu. Those two Spaniards will face off at 2:20 Eastern. Ballester is a great player from Arizona State, and Massaveu, you know, he decided to not to come to the States for college, and he plays most of his amateur golf in Europe, but he's ranked 23rd on the amateur golf rankings. Should be a very good matchup. On the other side, talk about Rahm's comments. He wants back to the PGA Tour. I'll give you some official live plays, maybe some matchups going the weekend. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
We're going to get to this Golf Digest report about Rahm wanting to come back to the PGA Tour in just a second. But one more thing to keep an eye on, and we talked about this, but, you know, with only the top 50 going to the BMW next week, you have quite a few names in contention that don't only need to stay in contention, you know, for the sake of trying to win this tournament, but also trying to get into next week and trying to get into the top 50. One of these leaders, Denny McCarthy, he started the week at 45 on the FedEx Cup standings. He's projected fourth, but you know, if he goes out there and shoots 76 and you know, drops to, you know, outside the top 10, you know, the pressure will amount as far as trying to get to next week. You have a couple others, Justin Rose in a tie for fifth. He started the week at 55 on the FedEx Cup standings, projected 32, but once again, we'll have to keep up the solid play. Nick Dunlop, you know, started 67th, projected 49th. You know, you got some big time players. Victor Hovland in a tie for seventh at 7 under par. Victor has not had a great year so far. He started the week at 57th on the FedEx Cup standings, projected 43rd. But once again, going to have a great weekend in order for the reigning FedEx Cup champion and Victor Hovland to make it to the BMW and further. Of course, he's coming off a second round 63, so Hovland in good shape rolling into the weekend. And after we break down this little Golf Digest report, I'll give you, you know, we talked about, you know, as far as my card, we've got Decky 33-1, Burns at 65-1, Adam Scott 70-1. If that's what your card looks like, I think the only outright live play you should probably add is Scheffler at +180. We're also going to go through some third round matchups. In the next segment, but for now, let's get to Golf Digest's, you know, Jaime Diaz, his report. He got this from a veteran tour insider, and this veteran tour insider told Diaz, you know, John Rahm is experiencing deep regret over his move to live. This was the quote: "I am 100% positive that if John could give the money back to the Saudis and come back to the PGA Tour, he wouldn't write the check fast enough." Continuing the quote, "There are only four times a year when Rahm is playing that anyone is remotely interested." And he thought his stature in the game of golf was secure no matter where he was playing, and it was a bad miscalculation, end quote. So, number one, Jaime Diaz is a trusted veteran journalist. You should absolutely trust what he has to say. And number two is, we knew Rahm would regret this from day one. We knew that John Rahm was not a bigger brand than the PGA Tour ecosystem. We knew that guys like Brooks Koepka and John Rahm would leave, and players like Scottie Scheffler and Ludvig Åberg would take their place at the top. And that's exactly what's happened. The PGA Tour has been so smart about developing programs like PGA Tour U, which, you know, awards college players status on major PGA Tour sanctioned circuits right out of college. And the PGA Tour has been so savvy with their relationship with the DP World Tour and making sure that the best 10 players on the European Tour earn a PGA Tour card. And, you know, the Korn Ferry Tour needs improvement as far as course sites and, you know, not going to courses where players shoot 35 under for 4 days. But that's a fairly good product as well. PGA Tour U is very impressive. It's a very impressive program because college players can accumulate points from the time they play their first college tournament. They can accumulate points over 4 years that can earn them status on the PGA Tour right out of college. In fact, Gordon Sargent of Vanderbilt had acquired so many PGA Tour U points after his sophomore year that he could have turned pro after his second year at Vandy, and they would have allowed it. But Sargent chose to finish out at Vanderbilt and go ahead and get his degree. But look at what the PGA Tour is doing for younger talents like Florida State sophomore Luke Clanton and 15-year-old Miles Russell. Clanton is the number one amateur in the world and has recorded 3 top 10s in the 6 PGA Tour starts he's earned. And 15-year-old Miles Russell top 10'd it at a Korn Ferry Tour event that he Monday qualified into, and that led him to receiving PGA Tour exemptions into the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit, and he will also play in the Bermuda Championship this fall. And how about Nick Dunlop, winning in Coachella as an amateur to begin the spring. He turned pro right after, left Alabama, and won a couple months later as a pro at the Barracuda Championship, which was the alternate event to the Open. Dunlop was the first player in PGA Tour history to win an event as an amateur and as a pro in the same year, and he is back in contention this week at the St. Jude, sitting three back at 8-under, 40-1, going into the weekend, Dunlop is. And speaking of Dunlop's progression, he spoke to the PGA Tour yesterday after his round regarding the fact that he won the U.S. Amateur this week last year, and now he's a two-time PGA Tour winner at 20 years old. Here was Dunlop to the media after his second round 5-under 65 to put him four back of the lead.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, honestly. Like, I mean, if you'd have told me I'd have been standing here, or honestly, if you'd have told me I'd have two top tens in a tour event, you know, much less two wins, I would have called you crazy. So very honored and very fortunate to be standing here, and I've gotten to watch, I probably watched more of that than I have this tournament this week. I'm honestly just looking forward to it changing somebody else's life as well.
So the PGA Tour gives younger players an opportunity very early on, while LIV Golf is a closed shop as soon as the year starts. You got 40 players, they close shop beginning of every year. They could sign new players, but none of these up-and-comers want to go play for the Saudis. They want to chase Tiger and Jack's records on the PGA Tour. That's number two. Number two is the PGA Tour is doing a better job at attracting young up-and-comers. And number three is, yeah, John Rahm is quickly realizing that no one cares about LIV Golf and no one watches the CW network. LIV Golf is never going to get official world golf ranking points with their 40-player, 54-hole shotgun start format. They are never going to attract fans for a number of reasons. You know, there is no location attached to the teams. You know, I've often said Team Torque is the closest team that has a similar geographic location based on their fan base. Team Torque features Joaquim Niemann, Mito Pereira, Carlos Ortiz, and Sebastian Munoz. They attract a huge Latin America fan base. But other than that, there is no location attached to the teams. And there is. I went to the LIV Houston event for a couple days. It was like 110 degrees out there. Nice time to host an event in Houston. And there is just horrible EDM music blasting through the course the whole time. And listen, no one wants to see Lee Westwood wearing shorts out there. It's just a sad, sad product on a network in CW that no one watches. That no one watches. You know, LIV doesn't even have a pregame and postgame show. Arlo White, by the way, great voice. Nothing but respect for Arlo. Arlo and Faherty do 3 to 4 minutes, you know, before and after, and then CW goes right to Nancy Drew. You know, I mean, right now at LIV Greenbrier, you have Taylor Gooch, Jason Kokrak, and Sebastian Munoz tied for the lead. And sure, John Rahm is one back there at Greenbrier, but look who he's chasing. It's not Scottie Scheffler and Hideki Matsuyama in Memphis. Let's just say that. So, yeah, John Rahm would do anything to come back to the PGA Tour. We saw this coming from day one. And the PGA Tour released their 2025 schedule, and LIV Golf is nowhere on it. You still have the 8 signature events with the majors. You know, the signature events will be the Century at the end of December in Hawaii. The AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am will be the second signature event. You have Tiger's Tournament in the Genesis Invitational. Riviera will be the third signature event. And then you have the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the RBC Heritage, the Truist Championship, the Memorial Tournament, and the Travelers. Remember, All the top 50 players from the 2024 FedEx Cup standings have an obligation to be at those signature events where they are all together. And by the way, the only new tournament on the eight signature events is the Truist Championship. The, you know, it replaced the Wells Fargo Championship. Truist replaced Wells Fargo as the title sponsor. And also, since Quail Hollow, which normally hosts the Truist, Quail Hollow is going to host the PGA. So the Truist will take place at Philadelphia Cricket Club instead of Quail Hollow. So it'll be good to see the PGA Tour make a rare appearance in the Northeast. But like I said, Jay Monahan, PGA Tour commissioner, spoke this week. There is no future as far as merging the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. I know there's some promised investment from LIV, but we have not seen that come to life whatsoever. On the other side, we'll go through some third-round matchups as far as the FedEx St. Jude Championship is concerned. I'll give you an outright as well to add to our current card in case you missed the first couple of segments. It's Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And wow, temperature is supposed to reach 112 index this weekend in Houston. Tough weekend to get out on the course. Hopefully you're already on your way there. Get you maybe 18 in before noon, before the peak heat of the day. Wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And yeah, once again, you know, we talked about this last Saturday. Make sure, you know, if you're a new golfer, you know, and you're trying to learn and you're trying to find the most efficient way for your pockets and the most efficient way for your comfort zone as far as learning the game. Listen, we heard last week that Top Golf is facing, you know, quite a bit of well, Callaway is not happy with their performance this year. Callaway bought Top Golf a couple years ago. Callaway is not happy after an 8% revenue decline this year. Let me tell you why. You know, Top Golf, for all you new golfers, listen, it's great to go hang out in one of the bays, maybe cool off, get a little bit of shade. As far as your pockets are concerned, it is $55 to go hit 20 golf balls and eat some garbage food at Top Golf, and that is why they're struggling. You can go to Gus Wortham or the short course at East River 9. You can get in and out of there in $35. Well, I don't know what a beer is at East River 9. I don't want to say the wrong thing. It's somewhere between $5 and $6, but that is a way better deal, a way more efficient deal for your game, Gus Wortham and East River 9, compared to what Top Golf can offer you. And I think that's the bottom line. If you're still reading about Top Golf struggles, look no further than the price. I mean, you know, $55 to go hit 20 balls. You can go over to Memorial Park, the great Memorial Park, host of the Houston Open, and hit 300 golf balls for less money. Then you can go hit 20 golf balls at Top Golf. I think the COVID-19 Top Golf popularity has come to a close. Let's get to some live plays for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Let's see, to review what we're on already, I'll run you through my card here. We have Sam Burns to win at 65-1. He's in solo third. At 10 under par, one back. We do have Hideki Matsuyama at 33-1. He isn't a share for the lead. And then our third outright was Adam Scott to win at 70-1. And he is in 33rd at 2 under. Pretty much no shot of Adam Scott winning. Going to have a huge putting day on the Bermuda greens, which he, you know, can sometimes get to struggling on. We also have Tony Finau to top 10. At plus 320, he is in a tie for 13th. And then our sleeper for the week was Ben Griffin to top 20 at plus 300. He is in a tie for 20th right now. We have two matchups this week. I usually give out 1 to 2 matchups. We have Russell Henley over Corey Connors. Henley's ahead of that. Henley's 4 under. Connors is 1 under. And then we have Colin Morikawa over Ludvig Åberg at -165. And those two are tied heading into the weekend. Looking at some matchups, some third round matchups. I really like Tommy Fleetwood. I didn't like him for the week. I think he opened 25-1. That is a horrible number for a Tommy Fleetwood who has not won a PGA Tour event. And while he's played well, Fleetwood has very good course history at TPC Southwind. And while he's played well in Memphis over the years, it wasn't the course history that he had at Le Golf National when we took him out, right? So I was a pass overall on Fleetwood this week. I think heading into the weekend, I know Aaron Rye is, you know, he is a grinder, a guy who probably doesn't let conditions impact him too much. You know, he's from England. He grew up in those, you know, Lynx golf conditions, you know, maybe not so used to the heat. And Fleetwood is an Englishman as well. You know, I like Tommy Fleetwood at -130 over Aaron Rye for the weekend. You know, I think, you know, Fleetwood came in here off a week of rest, played the Olympics, rested a little bit, and then, rested for a week and then traveled here to Memphis. Aaron Rye is coming, you know, straight in here off the taxing win in Sedgefield in Greensboro. So I think you're going to see a little bit of wear and tear from Rye this weekend. I do like Tommy Fleetwood at -130 on DraftKings over Aaron Rye, and that is just for the third round. I also like Sung J.M. at -120 over Cam Young on DraftKings heading into the weekend. You look at Cam Young's weekend performance, and you know this is probably the best player on tour, Cam Young, without a PGA Tour win. He puts himself in contention many times on Thursday and Friday, and you know just doesn't have the chops to finish it off over the weekend. I'm sure it'll come, but up to this point, it is not. He has been very bad over the weekends. Cam Young has, and really, that's by way of the putter. Cam Young is a great ball striker out of Wake Forest. Played alongside Will Zalatoris at Wake Forest. But, you know, when it comes down to the big moment, Cam Young's putter disappears. And being the fact that TPC Southwind is Bermuda grass greens, and he typically struggles on Bermuda grass greens, bent grass is more Cam Young's strengths. He could be a good pick for the B&W Championship at Castle Pines next week. We'll talk about that on Tuesday. Sung J.M. is a totally different story. He is a guy who got off to a pretty bad start this year. He's a 2-time PGA Tour winner. Sung J. got off to a pretty bad start this year. He is starting to come around. He won the North Korean PGA Championship back in March, and after that, he came back to the States and has been on fire ever since, has not picked up a win so far this season. But Sung J, you know, is playing fairly well this week. You talk about his outright right now. He's 1 under par for the week, in a tie for 42nd, 750-1 after rounds of 69-70. I still like him over Cameron Young, who, Cameron Young's in a tie for 58th. He's 1 over total, and he's coming off a 3 over par 73. Cam Young, he's going to make it to next week at the BMW. Started the week at 31 on the FedEx Cup standings. Projected 37th. As far as Sung J, Sung J is safely inside the top. Sung J should make it to East Lake. He came in here 9th on the FedEx Cup standings, projected 12th after this week. But as far as how they played, how they started this week, Sung J has just been, you know, a round of even, a round of a couple under. Nothing special, but nothing bad. Cam Young's rolling into the third round off a 3 over par round. So I like Sung J.M. at -120 over Cam Young on DraftKings as a third round matchup. I'm going to give you two more here. I like Tony Finau at even money over Tom Kim for round three. Tom Kim has been, you know, he's been riding a roller coaster as far as his game is concerned this year. This is a 21-year-old who's already won three times. I think he's 22 now, actually. He's already won three times on the PGA Tour. Tom Kim will absolutely be a major champion down the line. But he has struggled with consistency this year. You know, Tom Kim has. And while he has played well in these first two rounds, I think Tom, you know, he played, you know, 6 under 64 for Tom Kim yesterday after a 71 to open. But I think Tony Finau inserts himself into the tournament today. What people don't understand, we always say, oh, Tony Finau can't putt. He's a bad putter. You know, that's why he's not winning majors. He can't putt. You go look at the numbers, and Tony Finau has been putting fantastic his last four or five events. I am fired up for Tony Finau's chances of winning the BMW next week at Castle Pines, close to home. But as far as the third round, I think looking at the stats and looking at who has put together four good rounds more often this year, Tony Finau or Tom Kim. It's Tony Finau all day long. I will be on Tony Finau at even money over Tom Kim in the third round. And I won't be on this one, but if you're looking for one more, if you're just looking to degenerate out heading into the weekend, I think that Hideki Matsuyama at minus 115 over Victor Hovland is a great play. And really for a similar reason on why I like Finau over Tom Kim. Victor Hovland, we know he's going to turn the corner as far as the short game with the short game guru Joe Mayo. But the consistency has been tough to stumble upon. And while Hovland played great yesterday, chipped and putted great, we've seen spurts of that. And then the very next round or in round four, you know, he'll fall back a little bit. Hideki Matsuyama is coming off the two best opening rounds of putting in his PGA Tour career. I think Hideki at 33-1 to start this week and Sam Burns at 65-1 were great looks. And in case you missed out on those, Hideki is plus 300 right now live. Sam Burns is plus 700 live, one back going into the weekend. I'd get on both of those. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We appreciate your time today. Abigail behind the ones and twos, we appreciate you. We will see you next Saturday for the BMW Championship as the PGA Tour begins their ratings fight against week zero of college football. Remember, you've got the BMW next week up against week zero and the week one of college game day. And then, you know, week one, which is when the higher level college teams begin to start their football, the East Tour Championship at East Lake will be up against that. We'll try to get you fired up about the golf. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Back to you next weekend.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.